Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are going to focus not on politics today. Today we're going to focus on our sanity. That's right. If you are a Jewish woman or a Jewish man who has to prepare for the Passover, or in Hebrew it's called Pesach, the Pesach holiday, and you are starting to get panicky, like yours truly here at the microphone, then you're going to want to listen to this show. When I hear the holiday of Purim, which used to be my favorite holiday, it still is, but when I hear about Purim today, being a mother, having a house that I have to prepare for a holiday, I already start getting cringes and I start to panic because I know around 30 days later it comes the Passover holiday and we've got to clean, 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 work, 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 cook, 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 set up, have guests. It's just overwhelming. So we are not going to give you tips on how to make Passover cleaning easy because, folks, anyone who writes an article like that, it ain't true. It's hard. But we're going to try to get you in the mode and in the mood to be able to do the job we need to do without losing our sanity, without having to yell at our spouses, at our kids, and being able to get the holiday on foot where it should be and not in our own little movies that are running in our head, how everything has to be perfect. Life isn't perfect, but we're going to do still what we need to do. We're going to be having some experts coming on the show and talking to us about this. So if you are going to be celebrating the Passover or Pesach holiday, you're going to want to hear the show and you're going to want to share it with your friends. All that's coming up. I want to remind you that you can join me in the chat room and you can ask questions during the show. Maybe if I can read them, I'll read them out to the guests and we can answer them. Go to our webpage at israelnewstalkradio.com, press the orange button, or if you're on the player, there's an orange bar there. Click on that, sign into the room on the bottom left-hand side, the little green button there, and you can join us. We are going to be right back after the news and these messages. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be a very important show.
Hi, this is Heather Dean. Is your home sweet home just a place to hang your hat? Check out The Modern Jewish Home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. for practical advice from a wide variety of experts and innovators about relationships, getting organized, growing your business, nourishing your body and soul, and even having a good laugh. So make yourself at home every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Israel time on The Modern Jewish Home here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Passover made easy? No way. I'm one of those women who get into panic mode when it comes to preparing for the Passover or Pesach holiday. You're not supposed to drive yourself crazy and clean so much, though, that you're exhausted for the Passover Seder or that you just have a lot of resentment that you have to clean so hard. Because part of being holy is appreciating the holiday. So the question is, how do we bring the holiday on with a better and more enjoyable spirit and on a more holy foot? That's what we want to do. So we're going to be having on people on the show today who are going to be talking about this. If you have any comments or questions that you want to ask, you can join us in our chat room. Just go to the webpage israelnewstalkradio.com and you can see the orange button on our website. Click on that, sign into the chat room under whatever name you want, and you can join us and I'll be able to read your comments there. Now, I want to say that the Passover holiday is a holiday of freedom. And a lot of women and men who clean feel that they're pretty much slaves. We really kind of like get to the Seder table feeling, okay, I'm free now. All the big work is done. So we want to kind of like get to that feeling a little bit before the holiday where we come relaxed and joyous and able to pay attention to our guests and to the holiday spirit and into what the holiday really means. So with no further ado, let me introduce our first guest. Her name is Leah Saul. She is the author of the book, You Don't Have to Learn Everything the Hard Way. And you can order her book on Amazon or you can visit her website at AuntLeah.com. And Leah is spelled L-A-Y-A, so it's AuntLeah.com. So you wrote, Leah, an article entitled Passover Cleaning Made Easy? No, Passover Cleaning Made Joyful.
Right, because let's get real, it's not an easy task, it's not. And I was always looking for, you know, you find these articles online or you find these classes where they talk about, I remember taking a class about Passover Cleaning Made Easy, and it was, she made it sound even more complicated than what I do, and I'm already pretty fanatic. So what I realized is the idea isn't to get to easy. The idea is to get to joy. We're taught that we need to serve God with joy, and that this is like, really, it's a commandment. So how do we do something that feels like so daunting with joy? And so hopefully in the next few minutes, we can just, you know, even if you change something, think about if you just change something, even by a few degrees, you've changed everything. So let's see if we can come to a few little tips that will help the listeners with this process.
Okay, so I just want to jump in here for a moment and just say, I remember reading articles years ago about rabbis who would put up an article saying, clean for Passover in 3 hours' time. I'm thinking, it takes me half a day just to do the fridge and freezer, not let alone the oven, right, that you have to clean. Take us away and take this panic mode out of so many of us.
Okay. So let's be realistic. You can't do it in 3 hours. I mean, I just thought, let me hear the article from, I've seen those kind of things. Let me hear what their wives have to say. Because those aren't realistic. So the idea is, you know, any big task, you just have to take little baby steps at a time. So the idea isn't to wait till the last minute is not so smart. I was on a Facebook group where somebody was talking about when do they give their children snacks that are kidney oat, and I said, now, just start now. You know, and they thought, oh no, my kids will starve. No, there's so much wonderful snacks that aren't Cheerios. So don't be afraid of just, you know, switching over a little bit right away. And start organizing now. I like to think of it kind of like a bullseye, and you do the outer stuff first because it's going to go the fastest, and work your way inside. So, okay, let me ask you something, Tamar. You want me to talk about joy first or organizing first?
I don't know. I mean, you tell me.
Okay. So, you know what? Let's do the joy part first, because that's the scary thing. I have to tell you that before I really came to this, I remember, in, you know, every week we have a weekly Torah portion, and the Torah portion, which starts months ahead of time, is when Yosef goes into Egypt, and just as he's getting abducted, you know, or thrown into the pit by his brothers, I'd get a sad feeling in the pit of my belly, like, oh no, it means it's time to clean for Pesach. So really, it was a very stressful thing. And when you tweak your mindset, it changes everything. So let's start with that, and then we'll make the other part of it a little bit smoother.
Okay.
So the first thing about cleaning with joy is to understand that joy is a choice. It's an attitude choice. So the word decide, when you decide to choose joy, decide comes from the word to cut off. You're cutting off other options, and you want to just say, I'm going to do this. This is what I want to do. So I'm going to touch on three different ways of reaching into that joy. The first one is your mindset. And the first piece about mindset is stepping into it. And a tip that I use this for so many things. Like, we want to keep God in our lives. Don't forget to just, you know, look up to the heavens and say, Hashem, would you help me keep a joyful attitude? And when you ask for that help, you get it. You know, like on Yom Kippur, we know we're going to get forgiven, but we have to do the piece of asking. So first, just ask for help. We ask in our daily prayers to help us guard our tongue. Ask for help in keeping joy. And can you imagine what a joyful request that even is from a heavenly perspective? So the next thing for the mind, I would say, is to ask power questions. What I want to say is that I have another website that's more for mature women that is called nurturingwomen.com, and you can see this article that Tamar was talking about that has all of these tips and more, and it has all of my power questions that I use in my kitchen. So the idea is I got to this place of like, okay, I'm cutting vegetables again. I'm doing, you know, laundry again. So what do I make of this? How's that supposed to be happy? And the best power question that I can say right now is, how can I do what I'm doing with joy? Ask yourself that question, and your brain works like a computer. You ask a question, and your brain will search for those answers. So you want to ask power questions, which means that you're looking for a positive response from inside yourself, and you have it. We all have it. So another question is, how can I do what I'm about to do in an elevated way? Okay, so the next piece is to think about nourishing and nurturing your body. So, listen, you need to take care of yourself and everything that you do. You must get enough sleep. This isn't just for Pesach, but especially now. Go to sleep at the right time. You know what time that is. And I know, especially for moms with young kids, you want to have that alone time while your kids are asleep. In this next few weeks, make it a point to go to sleep a little bit earlier than you really think you should. So that's a really important piece. Drink enough water. Make sure that you're not hungry. Make sure that you're feeding yourself and feeding your family. So a little planning there is very good. When you're not taking care of yourself physically, that's when we can get crabby. And so it's really, really important to make sure that you're taking care of yourself physically.
Okay.
Another tip that I use, now this is a piece of bringing joy in with your body. So one piece is taking care of your body, your physical needs. And another piece is to use your body to bring joy in. So how can you do that? Put on music and start dancing. Now, we've done this in my house, in my kitchen, when sometimes things are a little edgy or stressful, or like, you know, I remember before my daughter got married, and you know, a wedding is a big deal and there's lots of stresses that come with it. And so every now and then we'd just turn on some dance music in the kitchen and say, let's practice for the wedding. And I have to tell you, no matter what kind of mood anybody's in, when you start jumping up and down and dancing, everybody's frown turns into a smile. You can't help it. You just can't help it. Mm. So turn on the music, dance a little bit. And another wonderful thing that you can do is pick a song, whatever song works for you, and sing. Just start singing. And it really changes your mindset. You know, whenever you do something physically with your body, you're releasing chemicals. When you change your posture, you change your physiology. When you change from a slouch to sitting up straight, you're changing your chemical reactions in your body. It's a real thing. So you don't have to do any of these things extreme. Even you don't have to do all of them. But if you pick one thread of all the things that I'm saying and just incorporate one piece into your world, it can change everything. It can really change the trajectory, the direction of how things are going.
Okay.
So let me ask you this question.
A lot of people can't get into the mindset of even starting it. They just feel, if I just push it off, I can't do it now. And then when the pressure gets on, you know, many of us are procrastinators. And when the pressure gets on, that moves us into gear. But you're saying you want to plan these things out. You don't want to be stressed, which is the ideal thing. How do we get that done? That's what we'll talk about in the next segment. I just want to tell you all, if you have any comments or questions, you can leave them in the chat room. It's the orange button on our website. And I'll be able to read those out to our guest, Leah Saul, who is answering our questions. Just listening to her talk already kind of like brings my blood pressure down a little bit. Maybe there's hope. We'll be right back.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
You've come to the best station for hot news and sizzling commentary.
All right, we are back here at the Tim Marion Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I want to say hi to all of our listeners who are listening around the world right now, from, let's see, France, Germany, Canada, all over the United States, Australia, and Spain, and Sweden. Hello to all of you. It's great to see you here. We are talking about the Passover holiday, how not to get into a panic mode. If you're in a panic mode already for all the cleaning and preparations that has to be done, then you're going to want to listen to this show. You're going to want to share it with your friends and family as well to help bring your blood pressure down, get you into the right frame of mind to clean, know what you need to clean, what you don't necessarily have to clean, and we'll take any comments or questions you have in the chat room as well. All right, so welcome back to the show, Leah Saul.
Hi, okay. So we'll just jump right back in and make the best use of our few minutes together.
Yes.
So we talked about a little bit about strategies for getting your mindset into place, strategies for taking care of your body and nurturing your body and nourishing your body and rest, and also how to use your body to lift the spirit. So the third leg of this trilogy is to take care of your emotions. And let me just start with a story, an embarrassing story of something that happened to me one Pesach when I was cleaning, and I was asking my husband and my kids for help, and nobody was helping, and I had something I needed somebody to go through. I can't believe I'm telling this to all these listeners, but I finally just got so angry that I took whatever the thing was that I wanted help cleaning, and I just dumped the whole thing in the trash, slammed it in there, and it got everybody's attention, and kind of people hopped to it a little bit, but it was not really the nicest memory. Obviously, it's not a great, it's an embarrassing memory for me that I reacted so angrily. So what are some tools so that we don't really have to have those kind of memories floating around? There are some tools. And the first and most important tool, and for anybody that's listening, it's going to sound like, you know, yeah, I've heard this one before, but really try to take this one to heart. Having gratitude is a huge remedy for upset. So when things feel agitated, take a step back and really look for the nuances that you can say thank you about. There's a really big story that happened when my mother-in-law was dying of pancreatic cancer. And one of our last conversations, she said to me, well, I hope wherever I'm going that there's work to do because I really love working. And it moved me so deeply that she knew she was saying goodbye to whatever work she had in this world. And it made me really want to focus on enjoying and being grateful that I'm here and I have the ability and I can do this work. So gratitude is a very big piece, and not in a big sweeping way. The secret to really understanding the nuances of gratitude is to look for the smallest little piece. I'll give you a general thing that I love about gratitude. There's a thing that I read one time that said, "Thank you, Lord, for my laundry. It means that we have clothes to wear. Thank you, Lord, for my dirty dishes. It means we have food to eat." So, you know, thank you, Hashem, that I'm cleaning for Pesach. It means that I'm walking a really holy walk in the world. I'm walking on with an opportunity to elevate in every moment. So gratitude is a really big one for emotions. And another little tip for...
I just want to cut in here and say, you know, for us to hear that and we're thinking, yeah, right? But, you know, there is something to say where they say... fake it till you make it. Maybe when we hear ourselves actually saying those words, maybe it will give us a little bit more gratitude, or at least get us out of the anger part of so much work to do that we really have to stop for just for a second and say thank you.
Right. It's really true. And that's a beautiful point. When you act as if, you become the thing that you're acting. It's just like what I was talking about even with the physiology. When you change your body, the shape of your body, when you sit up straight, it changes your chemicals in your body. So just speaking words of gratitude make a big change. So the other emotional piece that I want to say is to have, I like to have visuals that make me feel happy to my eyes. So I have, like, for example, I have a bracelet that has sparkly stones, little rhinestones in it, so that when I'm cleaning and I see my hand and I see my bracelet and the stones are picking up the light and it goes in my eyes, and then to me that's a little signal that I say, okay, I want to have light. I want this to be sparkly and I want this to be light-filled. So that's something that I use. I've shared that with people, and I had a woman one time come back to me and say that it really was something that worked well for her also. Mm-hmm. So it could be something like that. It could be an apron that you love, or it could be get yourself some new cleaning rags. Just get something instead of the holy ones. Get yourself some whole nice rags that just lift your, you know, lift your environment a little bit. So those are the three pieces with a few tips. Again, you can check out the website for more. I'm not selling anything over there. So just if you go to nurturingwomen.com and then do a little search for Pesach, you'll see the article with details and all the power questions that I use.
Okay, so we're talking about nurturingwomen.com. And let me just go over a few points that I wrote down while you were talking. So you're saying that joy is a choice. It's a choice that we make. And some of the points you give here is to ask God, will you help me keep a joyful attitude? That we ask that while we are cleaning. Also, to ask power questions. Wow. You know, basically, I think I saw on your website there that you had a sign on your refrigerator that you had these questions on, so you don't even have to think. You just look at the refrigerator and you're able to ask those power questions like, why am I doing this? I should be grateful, et cetera, et cetera. Another thing you list here is, how can I do what I do in an elevated way? You know, I remember there was one woman on our yeshuv, in the community that we live in, that she was a mother of young children. She was constantly cleaning and washing and doing all these things, and she's just getting resentful about it. And then she was thinking, you know what? Why am I resentful? This is holy work, because this is what the Kohanim, the priests in the Holy Temple did. They would wash up, they would clean, they did all these things that I'm doing, and I should be very, you know, just be very grateful that I'm able to do this work. That worked for her. And another thing you write here is use your body to bring joy in. Put on music that you like. Well, that's definitely what I do. Definitely. But this is my problem here. Maybe you can answer it. I always know whenever I clean, there's always more than I thought there was. I open up a drawer, I want to clean it, and then all of a sudden I see that something that's holding things in the drawer. So some type of container needs to be cleaned. Like, let's say it's just the thing that holds the forks and the knives and the spoons. So you think you're going to pick everything up and put it out, switch the drawers, whatever. But then you see, oh, look, you know what? It needs a cleaning, this plastic container. It's a little bit greasy or whatever. And then that's another like half hour of work scrubbing all these little things. So how do you get by when you see that the work you've done is just overwhelming?
Well, so the big piece is to be prepared and start earlier. Start earlier than you think you should start. There's always going to be pressure. It's just, it's our nature. We get closer, we feel the pressure, and just let that be okay. Like, it's just going to be okay. And the thing that we said at the top of this conversation was that Pesach cleaning is not an easy task. It's daunting. So let's be real about it. There is a lot of work to do. So the question is, what's the attitude I'm going to do this work with? And this is a big chunk of my life's energy. How do I want to walk through this gift of life that I'm spending here? I wanted to speak to something that you said also that I heard once in a lesson, in a lecture, that I think it was Shira Smiles that said this, but I'm actually not 100% sure. But years ago, when my kids were in diapers, and she said, everything the woman does is her prayer. Even when a mom is cleaning her baby's behind, that's a prayer for his well-being. So if we also understand that our cleaning is a prayer for the cleanliness of our home, and when I mean cleanliness, I'm not even talking physically, but like, we want our home, we want the energy in our home to be clear. We want the energy in our home to be full of light and full of godliness. So this is what we're doing when we're cleaning for Passover. We're really creating memories for our families and for ourselves. So we want to do that with joy. The Seder is a wonderful memory for every kid. But leading up to the Seder, you know, there's that great quote that says, dust is not chametz, and your children are not the Korban Pesach. I remember the first time I heard that, it was sort of, shook me up a little bit.
The Korban Pesach, for anyone who doesn't know, is like the sacrifice, the Passover sacrifice. Well, very good. You know what? I'll just say this really quick joke before we go. What's the difference between a terrorist and a Jewish woman cleaning for Pesach? The answer is you can negotiate with terrorists. Okay, so we'll leave it there. I want to thank you so much for coming on, Leah. And if anybody wants to go visit her website, you can go to nurturingwomen.com. And you can also take a look at her book. You can order her book on Amazon if you like. And that's called, give out the name of your book.
You Don't Have to Learn Everything the Hard Way.
Right.
What I wish someone had told me.
Yes. Okay. Very good. So again, thank you for coming on. And I
wish you happy Passover cleaning, happy Passover holiday. We should all do it with a little bit more concentration on not getting everything spotless if it doesn't need to be spotless, but to have our souls and our bodies and our emotions be spotless. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Choose joy.
All right, and when we get back, we're going to be speaking with someone who wrote a book called... It's called The Secret Diary of a Jewish Housewife. We'll be right back. If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. Please consider supporting our advertisers who help keep us on the air so you can listen for free. Thank you.
I used to get up all the time at night to go to the bathroom and have to take numerous breaks at work as well. But not anymore. I found what some people claim is a miracle cure from Israel. It's made from the cactus flower called Opuntuma. It's an all-natural and herbal remedy that helps with urinary problems, and it's really helped me. No more embarrassing trips to the bathroom. Get it at priso.com. That's PRISSO.com.
You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. We are talking about Passover cleaning and preparations and how not to panic, or at least panic a little bit less. And we're going to be speaking now with Rivka Levy. She's the author of several books, actually. But on this show, we're highlighting her book, The Secret Diary of a Jewish Housewife. That's going to be out soon. You can order that on Amazon. And let me tell you a little bit about Rivka Levy. She lives in Israel here also. And she's the director and educator of the Jewish Emotional Health Institute. You published an article, Rivka Levy, with us on Israel News Talk Radio, entitled "What Your Pesach Cleaning Style Can Tell You About Your Inner Dimension." By the way, if anybody wants to read that, go to our website at israelnewstalkradio.com, and you'll scroll down to where the blog section is down the page, and you'll be able to see that on the left hand side. So what kind of cleaning style, what it can tell us about our inner dimensions, what does that mean?
Well, so it started about 7 years ago. 7 years ago, I had like a really kind of madness about cleaning for Pesach, and I even started cleaning before Purim, which had never happened to me before in my whole life. And I decided this time I'm really going to, you know, take Pesach cleaning seriously. You know, I took apart cupboards and I was like scrubbing everything. Anyway, long story short, I said to my husband, you just concentrate on learning Torah. I have some really good you know, Devar Torahs, words of Torah to give over at the Seder table. I'm going to clean. So I cleaned like a crazy thing for 2 months. We get to the Seder night, and we had guests who'd bought wine, and these guests of ours were like wine aficionados, and they bought a very strong wine. My husband had one cup of wine. He just went completely, it went straight to his head. He didn't say another word for the rest of the Seder. By the second cup of wine, he had to go to bed. And then I was sitting there like, what is going on with Pesach? And I've made so much effort after this year. I cleaned so much. Like, what's going on here? So anyway, so the next few weeks, I was thinking about it a lot. And I actually realized that I'd kind of missed the point of my Pesach cleaning. And that was much more about the inner dimension. So what we know, you know, like Pesach comes, we know that matzah is meant to be, you know, a thing about humility. It's the poor man's bread, right? And that hametz is all that puffed up arrogant stuff. It's all that bad midot. So I started to realize, like, I'd got so puffed up with how brilliant my Pesach cleaning was that I'd actually, like, you know, like, I was full of kind of internal hametz kind of coming into the hag, you know, coming into the holiday. And God was really showing me, like, this holiday is about humility. You know, it's about being humble. So the next year, I took a completely different approach to my Pesach cleaning. And I started to see that however I was approaching my Pesach cleaning, it was actually, it was teaching me a lot about what I needed to, how I needed to approach my own negative character traits, because Pesach is really stressful. I'm sure you also know that, you know, you're talking about this on the show today. It can be so stressful. You can just get so kind of like, you know, like, oh, freaked out, panicked, and it brings out all of our bad character traits. And that is the stuff that we really need to be uprooting from our lives and really need to be working on. So the...
What?
In the article I wrote, I covered like a few of the different scenarios that can happen, you know, like common scenarios, you know, so for example, procrastination, you know, like we're sitting like for weeks and weeks and we're worrying about Pesach, but we're not actually doing anything about it, right? So that if we're doing that about our Pesach cleaning, we're for sure doing that about other things in our life too, right? Or there's another scenario like, you know, we're being perfectionist control freaks like I was like 7 years ago. I'm trying to get it all done and I've got like an order of things and it has to happen, you know, it has to be on time and I have to get it all done. So again, that's it. If we're too kind of over-controlling, you know, and we're not going with the flow and we're overreacting to things and over-planning about Pesach cleaning, then we're for sure doing that in other areas too, right? And we have to like learn how to have a bit more emunah, you know, and develop a bit more flexibility. And then another very common scenario is where we just get other people to do the work for us. So again, that can work okay. If Pesach cleaning was just about finding that last bit of bagel that's like shoved all the way under your bed, like 300 miles like north, right? So you can get someone else to do that. But really the inner dimension is to look at what's inside of us, and nobody else can do that for us. Only we can do it.
Okay. So I want to jump in here and say, I have this tape that plays inside my head that while I'm cleaning that says, if you're not going to put everything into it, like this is like God talking to me, right? If you're not going to put your seriousness and everything into this, then I don't have to put my serious and everything into you. So, you know, you give what you get, you get what you give. And I have this, I know this isn't so, but this is a tape I have playing in my head. So how would you answer that?
So you probably know this story, but it's a very famous story that was told by the Baal Shem Tov about one of his Hasidim that one year also went very, very kind of super machmir, very strict about Pesach. And he cleaned his house from top to bottom, and he got to the Seder night, and he felt like, wow, I've like made so much effort this year. And like, you know, he was guarding his mats, you know, guarding the wheat from the minute it was cut, and he got his well water like many, you know, many weeks before like Pesach even started, and he covered it and he guarded it. He gets to Seder night. What happens? A bird flies over the chimney of his house and drops a wheat kernel, plop, straight into his pot of soup. So now he's got a chametz gemor, right, in his Pesach Seder soup. And he went to the Besht. He was, like, really upset about it. He's like, what's going on? I made so much effort. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, you forgot to put God in the picture, right? Because God, for sure, he expects us to do everything. He for sure expects us to do the maximum that we're capable of doing. But you're actually bringing me on to a very important point here, which is that we cannot do it the way we would like to do it. Right, and just like it doesn't matter how much Pesach cleaning you actually do, there's always going to be something that you didn't get to. Again, like one year, like I again made a lot of effort, and then I found like all this bread that my kids had like left in the garden, and I hadn't even thought to like check for like hametz in the garden. So in the middle of Pesach, there's all this bread like all over the garden. I was like, oh my goodness, you know, hametz gemor, and it's exactly this story from the Baal Shem Tov that. For sure, we have to do our bit, but if we take God out of the picture, if we forget that really we can only get Pesach done properly, and really we can only clean up our own internal dimension properly if we get God involved, and we know, like, it's that humility thing, it's that matzah thing again, that we know we can't do everything, right? If we think we can do everything ourselves, that's the arrogance that all the bad middle, all the negative character traits actually grows in, right? So we need some humility, we need some matzah to know we can't do Pesach without God. Right. And we can't fix ourselves without God, and we really can't do anything much without God in the picture. So I don't know if that answers your question, but we have to kind of...
No, that's... You know, that's actually very good, because as of a couple of years ago, I kind of came to that conclusion as well, that if we're not going to come into the holiday happy, if we're going to come in stressed and still feeling like a failure because, you know, somebody else's house looks cleaner than looks cleaner than yours, shines, right? That we're going to come into holiday with these bad feelings, these bad character traits that we have, then that's not what God wants. And so I've been coming with the attitude of I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it happier. But it's still stressful because that's the tape that goes through my head. But I want to say this is that you write in your article that there are some people, the way that they clean tells who they are spiritually or can lend to that idea. And one of the things is, which is me, which is procrastinate. I work better under pressure, apparently. I also wait, you know, when I have to do it, then I get the job done because that's who I am. I get the job done. But if it's, you know, if it's la-di-da, I'll just do this, you know, I pace myself. There's not that pressure there. So that's not me. But saying that, I always also have a earlier deadline. In other words, I don't wait until it's like 3 days before Passover. I want my kitchen and my house to be done already a week before. It never is, by the way, but it's done usually 2 to 3 days before. And that gives me the time to be able to finally relax when my kitchen has been turned over. Everything is done. I've got 2 to 3 days of just now thinking about the menu and just, you know, doing those things. It has worked for me and made it much better. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, so everyone has to like kind of find their own style. And I also find that from year to year, because again, it's like spiritual work, this. So for each, you know, from one year to the next, it's going to be a different challenge. So like I said, I've had years where I've been a control freak trying to get it all done by Purim, right? And then I've had other years where I've just procrastinated so badly that it's like the week before Pesach and like nothing is done. And again, each year, it's just to know that nothing is actually wrong here. Right, because each year God is using Pesach, he's using our cleaning to actually show us what we need to work on in ourselves. So the years when I was like very kind of, I had to get it done by Purim, I was going through a period of time where I was like, I really needed to learn to let go a bit more and to put God more in the picture. Right, and he showed me that very clearly via my Pesach cleaning. And the other years, you know, where we, you know, maybe I didn't put as much effort in as I could have. So again, it's like, you know, he's showing me this is the work that needs to be done, not just in Pesach, like whatever is going on with the Pesach cleaning, you'll also find that's what's holding you back in your life, right? So if someone is like very procrastinating about Pesach, right, and they haven't got it done yet, they'll also find they're procrastinating about switching jobs, they're procrastinating about dealing with that issue that they've got at the kids' school, they're procrastinating about, I don't know, whatever it is, moving house, like whatever the big things in life are that are very stressful, our Pesach cleaning style kind of shows us how we're reacting to them. So now I've got like a few tips I just wanted to share about what can make all this process like a bit easier and a bit lighter and a bit more enjoyable.
You know what? We don't have time for that, unfortunately. It's already the end, but I will point everybody to go to your article that you wrote, and they can write comments there if they want. Go to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and look for the article there. We will also link to it on our webpage. Rivka Levy, I want to thank you for coming on. Again, you're the author of several books. The one that we talked about today that we mentioned was called The Secret Diary of a Jewish Housewife. Can you just give out your website real quick?
Yeah, it's amunaroma.com.
Okay, so you'll send me that and we'll link to it on our webpage.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Rivka Levy.
Bye, Tamar.
All right.
And I wish all of you a happy Passover cleaning. Don't stress out. Remember, as our guest said, put God into the picture and just, you know, we'll get it done. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. It's been a pleasure to do this show. Yes, my blood pressure has gone down a bit. And tomorrow, I'm really going to start. I did some before, but I'm really going to start tomorrow.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the Phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.